Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
We're coming live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quick and Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. It is Raz and Bogus. It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. DA taking a couple days off for a little extended holiday weekend. Bogus and I with you this morning. Bogus and I with you tomorrow morning. Pete the Body Bilotti, James Boccioni back at CBS Sports Radio headquarters. And that was Pete doing his own drop. Say, I'm feeling great. And that's what got me there. What a start to the final hour. Well done, Pete. Well done for a week that has been very tumultuous on the show, whether it's you and I fighting over who gets what tasks, because I'm sure everyone of the listeners have cared about that so much, to you improvising with your own drop, well done. Big rebound for you as we close the week.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Man of a few words.
I feel much better about myself now.
Bogus, man of a few words, that Pete the Body Bilotti, huh?
But as long as Pete's okay, nothing else matters. So I'm glad to hear that he's doing well on this Thursday morning.
You know, interesting factoid before we get into the NFL and the waiver situation, Bogus. I don't know if you're aware of this. So there are – Kaplan took off as well, the Wizard of Watch DA. There are four people working on the show today. It's you and I, it's Pete the Body, and it's James Boccioni. Do you know that only you of us four were not led by the same college radio professor?
Is that true?
Me, Pete the Body Bilotti, and James Boccioni, the young man filling in as a producer, are all under the same coaching tree, if you will. You know, DA was talking about your Fordham vote, if you will, and how he wishes Syracuse did that. Marv is the founding father. So Pete went to, I believe it was CWP or NYIT. Where'd you go,
LIU
Pete?
LIU Post, yes.
LIU Post. Myself and James Boccioni both went to SUNY Old Westbury on Long Island. The SUNY Old Westbury head of the radio is a man by the name of Joe Manfredi, who was Pete's radio professor there before taking over at SUNY Old Westbury. So we are all off the same coaching tree. You're the only one who is not. How about that?
Well, I wish I had learned under that gentleman. I'm wondering when you fell off the tree that Pete and
right
Botch
away
held on to. Now, is Professor Manfredi in the LIU CW Post Hall of Fame like Pete is?
Well, I don't know.
Not
Pete
yet.
Pete makes the rules of that Hall of Fame, so I don't know.
Pete, it's like our schedules.
I'll make the rules.
Pete makes them both.
Pete would be like when David Baker gets inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You're like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense.
You know who should be in the Hall of Fame, guys? Me.
Right. I'm going to declare me, not the professor who taught me everything. I will go to the Hall of Fame.
David Baker should be in the Hall of Fame.
Pete
fades to the back of the room. All right, well, the NFL is still, I mean, when you go up, you go down, you go around. We have done this thing when it comes to fans and stadiums and that question mark over the past couple of weeks. And look, we have seen the people on Twitter, Peter Schwartz,
talk about why can't there be fans if they wear masks. There is going to be people in this country who feel comfortable going to a game. There are going to be people who don't feel comfortable going to a game. And I think whatever mindset you have is fine by me. I think me and Pete both declared on the air about a month ago when DA asked, would you go to a game today? And I think we both said yes. I personally would be more weary of that today, if I'm being transparent. I think I go back and forth in this because of obviously the rising case numbers and such than I was a month ago. But I don't ultimately know. Bogus, you vehemently said no. DA said no as well. And I'm sure you guys have stuck that way. The NFL, unless I'm speaking for you, I assume you still would not go to a game.
Correct.
Okay. Well, the NFL now, on a day where they are attempting to semi-announce, even though they have to get the union's approval, they will cut the preseason from 4 to 2 games, obviously, because they don't assume fans are going to be there. They have already announced they are tarping off the first few rows of every stadium to put advertisements out there. Again, another sign they're not expecting too many fans. Now a report leaks that they may be asking fans to sign a waiver, a consent waiver, before walking into a stadium because basically they don't want to get sued. If somebody gets coronavirus very badly, to the point they're hospitalized, we hope this doesn't happen, you know, ventilators, hospital bills, you know, the worst of the worst I don't even want to mention could happen. They want you to sign a waiver. And I read this story yesterday, Bogus, and I tried to be as fair about this and kind of look at it from both angles as fair as possible. Number one, the way I looked at it in one regard is, all right, well, I don't blame the NFL because if they do want fans in there, I guess without a vaccine, the only way to do that would be you want no liability, so you should sign a waiver, just like you would before you go bungee jumping or something like that. But all of those things that you would dare sign a waiver before doing are very scary practices. It is what I keep coming back to. And if the NFL is sliding a waiver in front of me, like they are the agency ahead of the event that I'm supposed to go to. When I buy an NFL ticket, I expect that I'll be able to go in the parking lot, you know, grill my hot dogs, have a good time, go in, chant defense, get loud on third down, and more or less, unless I get way too drunk and stupid, which I've never done, and I get into a fight, that's my own problem, you should be able to come and go from a football game pretty safely. And if I am being slid a waiver, and I had that thought of going to a game, and like, perfect example, my wife's 30th birthday falls on September 19th, and she has said for, like, 5 years now, her favorite city on earth is Chicago. And she said, my 30th birthday, I want to go to Chicago. I said, all right, we'll try to make it work. Obviously, that right now does not look like it would happen. And it just so happened this year, Bogus, that the New York Giants play the Chicago Bears in Chicago on September 20th. It was almost like, wow, how incredible would this be if fans were allowed? Because that's where you wanted to go for your 30th. We could make it a giant road trip. I get something out of it. You get what you want out of it, of course, because it can't just be your 30th. I got to make something out of it. And even if we were thinking about going, if we get tickets and outside Soldier Field, I got to sign a waiver, I would feel very queasy about that, very, very weary. And I would love everybody's thoughts at 855-212-4227. If you were in that line of thinking, and that number again is 855-212-4CBS, or your tweets at MrazCBS, at Andrew Bogus, if you were pro, hey, I don't care, I'm tougher than the virus, I'll go to a game. Like, if you're in that mindset, and they're putting a waiver in front of you, doesn't that make you stop and hesitate? Wouldn't that do that for you, Bogus?
I mean, it should. It absolutely did for me. I mean, and again, I wasn't going in the first place. I don't know about other stadiums and other football cities around the country, but the process of me getting to MetLife to see a Giants game
right
completely negates the effort of, like, the enjoyment of being at the Giants game. So, like, I haven't gone to a game as a fan, and I don't even remember the last time. So that being said, so I'm not necessarily the target audience for this. And I know that on the back of your ticket, you know, there are things that you acknowledge could happen to you, like getting hit by a bat or a foul ball at a baseball game. But, like, this is different, and we've never, as far as I can remember, had to sign anything like this before going into a game where I could sit next to somebody who could give me some kind of disease or infection that I don't want. Like, you know, you don't do this during flu season. And I'm also not a lawyer, but, like, my thought is, like, possibly asking people to sign this means that maybe they shouldn't be there in the first
right
place, right? Like, if it was safe and we had crossed all our T's, dotted all our I's, had everything in place, and it was safe to go to the game, I wouldn't need you to sign something. But if I'm asking you to sign something, that to me means that, like, I'm not sure that everything is the way and where it's supposed to be. So there's no chance that if I was thinking about going to a game, this would absolutely make up my mind that I'm not going if going includes signing away my rights over this.
And that's why I just can't imagine and envision, I know this is a report, that this ends up being the case. Because, well, you just mentioned lawyers for a second. How legal is the document you're signing before you enter a stadium? And I guess, how is that, or how would you organize that, let's say, right? You buy a ticket. Is it when you buy the ticket you have to sign that? Well, then what does that mean if you wake up, you're sick that day and you can't go and you hand the ticket to somebody you know? Do they have to get to the stadium? Are we standing on longer security lines to get in the stadium? Because one by one, on top of everybody taking your temperature, you're now signing a piece of paper that then gets filed somewhere. I have so many questions on how that would even work realistically. But the idea that the NFL, from a PR standpoint, can plant its flag and go, okay, we're playing, we're going without a hitch, and look, guys, fans are absolutely coming into the building. What we just need you to sign a waiver. How, if you're Roger Goodell or NFL owners, do you not face the questions as, well, if you guys feel it's so safe to come in, why have the waiver? So I can't imagine this happening, because to me, that seems like a PR disaster.
And even, Sean, like, again, like a baseball ticket, it is its own waiver in terms of getting hit by a bat and a ball. But yet we've had these unfortunate situations of people getting hit and very badly hurt. Like, there still are lawsuits. So, like, that ticket doesn't fully absolve teams from any liability and whatnot. So I don't even know how this would work in actual practice, but it is a report, and it really is an idea. Like, I don't even know that they have a specific proposal in place to show to teams, but maybe it's coming next week. So, like, they might not even have answers to questions that we're asking right now. But so to me, it's about looking at it at face value, and the fact that this could be necessary, or they think it's necessary, scares me away from games. And I'm doing DA's two sports minutes today, and he already did a Sandlot one, so I can't do that today. One of them is on this, and, like, how about we just, and I know people want to go to games, I get that, and I know that the teams and the leagues need people there, but, like, let's do this in stages, right? Like, let's get the game itself as close to perfectly safe as possible. Let's make sure players can play, coaches can coach, the referees are fine, the people that we need on site to make the game happen, let's lock them into safety first. And once we know that that works, then we can think about fans. And we should only let them in when we don't need them to give us any extra legal wiggle room on what might happen to them when they come inside my stadium for a football game.
So I agree with you wholeheartedly, and you brought up a good point about, you know, being a process to get to a stadium. The fact remains, when it comes to professional sports, and yes, collegiate sports in this country, that as far as sports fans go, there are far more sports fans that go to one or two games a year than go to almost every game a year with season tickets. The season ticket holders are obviously the lifeblood for so many of these teams and leagues, but in essence, they are still an extreme minority of the fan bases for these leagues and teams, for people that can afford to go with season tickets. So I kind of look at this and I try to take a step back. Would I love for everything to be normal and me to be at Yankee Stadium this summer? Of course. Would I love to take my normal Giant road trip and go watch some NFL football on the road this fall? Of course. But what I would love most is for the games themselves just to be played. So, like you just said, with stages. So if it means we have to make sure the players are safe, and let's see how that goes before we're figuring out fan situations, I completely agree, especially if you're getting to the point where you have to sign waivers. And I think the best way to look at this, if you're one of these people pounding your fists on the table going, I need to go to a game, I don't know why I can't just go to a game, if we're wearing masks, why can't I just wear a mask at a game? Look, I understand that whole argument, but think about this realistically. Unless you are one of those season ticket holders where that's just so part of your life where you can't get a grip on reality, if you're one of these people that just goes to your one, two games a year anyway, just, you spend most of the games you watch on TV anyway, just continue to watch those, and you don't go to one or two games, and be thankful that we have the sports on TV, And from an NFL perspective, look, it's an ever-changing process. It's an ever-evolving. There are people way smarter, obviously, than me, way smarter than Bogus, although he's really smart, way smarter than you out there listening, that are scientists, that are doctors, that are working hard, working round the clock, that we're probably taking for granted right now on medications and vaccines that we keep getting updates on, but in reality, there's no way to know. You're never going to know something's done until it's done. We could say we're expecting this done by this date, but until it's done, until it's safe, the way everything has been targeted and the way, even though there's no guarantees that you hear guys like Dr. Fauci come on TV talk about, there is a chance, I don't know how great a chance, that a vaccine is available, and who knows how widely available it would be, by the end of the year. And by the end of the year, if that is best case scenario and that happens, the NFL season is still going on. So just because we start the season here in August, Bogish, or September, also doesn't mean that all these NFL fans pounding their chest going, I need to sign a waiver, I need to get in. You still may be able to have that opportunity in December, or dare I say the playoffs in January. Like, that is still out there for now because this thing changes every day. So I would caution anybody when you see this waiver story to take that as a major alarm and a major red flag that maybe in our quest for wanting sports back so badly, we just need to pump the brakes on the going to the game aspect and just focus on making sure if you're in a bubble that the players are safe, if they're not like baseball and traveling around, that we just get these games going off and treat it like a TV sport until it's safe enough where we don't need waivers to go to games.
Yeah, and you know, like if you need to go to a game that badly, or you're worried about, you know, like worried about teams and survival and whatever, like send a team $50, say, here you go. Instead of buying a ticket, here's some money, and just do the, you know, and like create a fund or so. Like there's other options here. And I know how badly folks want to go to games. I think A, they just want to go to games, but B, it's going to make them feel like things are okay and getting back to normal. Like it's bigger than just attending the game. But like, you can't live though in that disconnect where I want to do this, I want to do that, but I'm also not listening to the ways that maybe can get us there. Like, I'm deciding on my own what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And there's always room for personal decisions, don't get me wrong. But, like, there seems to be, at least when I see it, there's a lot of overlap in people who think that restaurants being closed and wearing a mask is stupid, but also are demanding to be able to go to a football game in a couple of months, not understanding that those things are all connected, that, like, to get to your goal, you need to listen to people who know more than we right. do about how these things work, or at least acknowledge that certain measures are working in certain places. So maybe I should try and listen to them here. So, and it's not to be like too soapboxy, but like we all want this to be over with. This is how we started the show. Like we all want this to be done. And the specific act of going to a game is just not that important. It really right. isn't just to be there. So, like, do the little things here and there. If everyone does the little things in their own neck of the woods, then maybe as a group, as a country, we can get to a place where then you can go to your game. Like you said, maybe it's not September. Maybe it's not Labor Day weekend, but maybe it's Halloween or Thanksgiving, or maybe it's just in time for the playoffs. Who knows? But, like, to just have this tunnel vision, like, I got to go to a game, is probably counterproductive in the end.
I would agree. Your thoughts at 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. Tweets at MirazCBS, at Andrew Bogish as well. When we come back, the NHL bubble plan seems to be stiff-arming the U.S. of A., but does that give them the best chance for finishing their season? We'll discuss next. It's Bogish, it's Miraz, it's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
A fun throwback Thursday on the DA Show. Miraz and Bogus in for DA. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Bogus, we have some tweets coming in. Senor Pantleg tweets in, how is it that Miraz sounds smarter when DA is gone? Do you believe that, Bogus?
some very good points this morning. We did have to relive your wheat versus flour versus whole wheat versus regular dough conversation a couple years ago. So that, you know, takes us back to, I guess, normal Meraz. But, you know, in the last week, we've had the a mommy rabbits feed their baby rabbits conversation.
Sure.
There was the whole wool and wolf issue yesterday, sheep versus lambs versus goats. So
yeast.
We haven't had one of those. Yeah, we haven't had anyone, haven't had one of those yet today. So I think there may be some truth. Maybe deep down inside, you are somehow still, I don't know, not intimidated by DA, but trying too hard to impress him, and that takes you into a spot sometimes where you might, you know, misspeak or the brain misfires. You're trying too hard. I don't know where it comes from, but maybe there's some truth to it.
No, look, I think what you're understanding here is people who point this out, there is no doubt in my mind, obviously, or anybody who listens to the show, there are certain things that I have either forgotten from school or maybe didn't pay attention enough in school that when they come up on the show, I don't care about asking or bringing them up because one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to end up looking very smart and right and I will get like that pat on the back of being like, yes, good job, Meraz. Or I will.
That never happens.
No, I mean, it happens from time to time. Or like what happens with the wool or wolf, I will be completely wrong, and in the end, here's the way I look at it, guys. I mean, you listen to 4 hours of the DA Charmoner, or maybe you listen for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever, and maybe you hate me, maybe you love me, maybe you love DA and you hate me, maybe you love Bogish and you hate both of us. I don't know, but we are a big, happy family here. But I also understand that in my job in radio, I am never going to be sensitive, and I'm not going to hide who I am. So if I get on the air and I say something that is just so wrong that you guys will laugh and have a good time, I don't mind being the butt of the joke and people laughing at me because ultimately I think that's entertaining. We can laugh and we can have a good time. I'm not going to be sensitive about it, but I'm also going to take that swing. So I could really sit back and think about, go like, all right, does the wool-wolf thing make a lot of sense here? Or I could just go with it and run with it on the air. And to me, I think it makes for a better show if we go with it and run with it on the air. So when I get a tweet today from Senor Pantleg Bogus that says I sound way smarter, I do think there's an element of when I so to speak, I'm with you in leading the driver's seat where the DA should. DA kind of, he's the quarterback and he distributes. And you and I kind of co-quarterback this thing when he's out. I do have to, I would say, be a little more prepared entering each segment. So maybe by just sheer organizational skills, it makes me sound smarter when he's out.
Yeah, I mean, I am reminded, though, by another a different tweet from Dirtbag 1327 that you did have taken us down the hot dongs conversation, hot dogs, hot dongs conversation. So there, that did happen this morning. Right, and that stepping into the lead role puts you in a different frame of mind, and maybe you can, you know, you can control the conversation better, so therefore you're staying in areas that you know well, that you've thought about, and then when somebody throws the random goat at you and stunned to a news, that takes us down the path that, you know, yesterday did.
That, I think that's all a good point, Bogus. I think that's all a good point. But thank you guys for listening, really. And if you liked anything of what you heard, or frankly, if you didn't like, just please come back tomorrow, because Bogus and I will be back tomorrow to take you into your 4th of July holiday as well, with DA off, hanging out with his wife and having a good time. Bogus, you got our headlines for the final time this morning.
Oh, I do. You know, it's amazing how normally when I'm sitting here and DA is here, I have this like internal clock that I know when it's my time to talk, when we're getting close to update time, because it's repetitive. It happens every day for months now. Sitting here now with you instead of DA, I'm completely thrown off, and I have zero idea of where we are within the hour, within the show. I was very surprised to learn that I had to read headlines right now, but here they go. They are sponsored by Ace Hardware. Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore paint, which means premium quality paint and Ace's award-winning service are now just around the block. If you want a new look, look no further than Ace. Major League Stadiums opened yesterday for players who begin reporting for summer camp, while it's almost time for NBA players to head to Disney World to finish their season. Wizards guard Bradley Beal, though, remains undecided.
I'm still working my tail off every single day, as if I am playing. Definitely
It's more or less going to be a decision that comes down to the medical staff and I.
Beal has general concerns about coronavirus, plus some nagging injuries from late in the season that have not cleared up just yet. Pacers guard Victor Oladipo said something similar yesterday. He's afraid of re-injuring himself in Orlando after missing a year with a ruptured quad tendon. Oladipo was just 13 games into his return when the season stopped in March. I don't think we've mentioned this yet this morning. The cost of the NBA's bubble in Orlando being pegged at roughly $150 million. That accounts for food, the hotel rooms, security, and, of course, the COVID testing. Not sure, though, what MLS is paying for its setup at Disney, but it has some issues at the moment. FC Dallas has 6 confirmed positive tests, with the Athletic adding 3 more players and a coach. 8 of the 10 would have tested positive after checking in to their Disney hotel. The club's first game is a week from today. The NFL is reportedly trying to cut the preseason from 4 games down to 2. They would again just lop off weeks 1 and 4. That extends the time then from the start of training camp to your first game, and then another window from the preseason to the regular season. They would then rearrange weeks 2 and 3 of the preseason schedule to make sure each team has 1 home game and 1 road game. However, such a change needs approval from the union. That hasn't come just yet. The players actually may want 0 preseason games this summer. The St. Louis Cardinals are reportedly replacing the Yankees against the White Sox at the Field of Dreams game in Iowa. That is still somehow on baseball schedule for August. Novak Djokovic and his wife have apparently recovered from coronavirus, testing negative yesterday. The two of them among the many who tested positive after Djokovic's European tour, tennis tour, in which there are very few safety protocols, which led to those handful of positive tests. And again, it is early in round 1 of the PGA Tour stop in Detroit. This is the Rocket Mortgage Classic, and Ricky Fowler has the lead right now. He is 4-under through 7 holes. Shawnee?
All right, well, Bogus, the NHL now, after hearing for weeks that Las Vegas would be one of the hub cities picked, and we were basically waiting for the other hub city to be picked, it seems like the NHL is reversing course with rising, obviously, positive tests all throughout the country and in Nevada, that the NHL's been a little spooked here. And I guess in many ways they get the benefit of what the NBA didn't. It's kind of funny looking back, because remember the argument that you and I, and then it really became you and truly versus DA, where who was going to be the first that came back, or who should be considered the first to come back. And you and I both point, it was the NHL. They had a press conference with Gary Bettman. They announced the format. They announced everything. Sure, there was dotting of the I's and crossing of the T's, which is still going on, by the way, with NHL players. But ultimately, they had their plan. They were out there. They made it public. They felt confident enough to have Gary Bettman in front of TV. And DA wanted to argue the point. No, the NBA announced Orlando. They are the first. Now, it's probably not fair to have DA not here to rain on it, but we could all agree, me and you were right on this. The NHL was the first to come back. But the one thing DA crushed them for was not having their hub cities picked. Said, well, they don't even have their location picked. And our point was, well, they have so many choices that it's actually a good thing for them, and we're punishing them for not being the first to back because they didn't just settle in and focus in on Orlando. And in many ways, Bogus, because of that at its core, the NHL, I think, is benefiting here because now we're looking at what's going on in Florida. You're already seeing what's going on with FC Dallas down in the MLS, and you're like, wow, the NHL not being locked into a city is actually going to help them. So now it says they are eyeing, or the league says they are eyeing, Toronto and Edmonton, both Canadian cities. One of the major issues is obviously the spike in coronavirus cases in Nevada and in the U.S. As a whole. And another benefit is operating there instead of Las Vegas, which could be very expensive, meals, hotels, and all of this, will be cheaper for the league, which, of course, if you're a boss operating at a cheaper cost, is always better. But the NHL, I think, is a major winner that they didn't have it locked in where they would be, where the NBA is now, because I don't know about you, Bogus, I see this news yesterday, and I see Toronto and Edmonton, and I see the reasons for it, and I feel very, very confident. And maybe that's the wrong word to use, because maybe you shouldn't be very confident about anything. I feel very confident that if I were to pick of the 3 leagues that we know are coming back right now, baseball, hockey, and basketball, that hockey will finish its season where the others, I just don't know, based on travel for baseball and based on what's going on in Florida right now with Corona for the NBA.
Yeah, I still have my questions, I guess, about hockey not really completely having a bubble. Like, I still don't know all of the details, like where everyone's going to be, how actually like quarantined and isolated they're going to be. But, and don't forget too, Sean, that like this began with the possibility of not being in Canada at all because right. they had, you know, the border was closed. You had a quarantine going into Canada. I mean, the Raptors are already in Florida to avoid the possibility of any issues crossing the border between us and them. And the Blue Jays, I think, still don't have full approval just yet to play in Toronto. They're going to get in. They're apparently going to live in the hotel connected to Rogers Center, which makes a lot of sense too. But for a while, like, Canada was the problem in this, you know, in a number one of, or in more than one of these leagues. Now they are, they're the escape hatch. They're the place to go where it's safer. And this, I don't know if the NHL is going slowly to see, like, for this exact reason, or they were just going slow because they had time on their hands and they knew they had options, and no matter what, they would have places to go to. But like this makes them, no matter what, they, like you said, they're now in the best spot because they've been able to find what appears to be the best spot to get their guys to, and then play hockey relatively safely.
Yes, and again, as you pointed out, we don't know as far as how strict the bubble is. Are there going to be restaurants in Toronto and Edmonton for these guys to go out to? Can you trust the players? Will they find a... I don't even know. I'd be lying to you if I knew the ins and outs of Edmonton's bars. Like, are they open the way Texas is? Are they completely shut down? I really don't know the answer to that. But I do know that when I look at plenty of graphs of positive tests between countries, I see the U.S. very much on a climb, and I don't really see the same thing from Canada right now. So I think, you know, this being played in two cities in Canada is a win for the U.S. and for the NHL. I'm sorry, not for the U.S. And I would also say for... I saw, again, I keep referencing Twitter, and maybe that's my crutch today, what I saw on Twitter. There were some fans, kind of some pushback, like, oh, the NHL, we're no good for you here, you're just going to play in Canada. Well, no fans are going to this anyway, and it's just a bubble format, and we're only watching on TV. What the heck does it matter if the ice they're skating on is in Toronto or if it's in Las Vegas? To me, it doesn't matter one right. lick. It's going to all look the same on TV anyway. So from a fan's perspective, this should have zero impact on whether you watch the NHL or care about it enough to watch it where they're actually playing the games. This is about how we take care of the players and make sure they're as safe as possible.
Right, and you couldn't go anyway, so who cares if it's farther away or in a different country than where right. you are right now? You weren't going to those games no matter what. And again, if you're mad that the NHL chose Canada because Canada made more sense than America, the people that you should be mad about that are not Gary Bettman and the NHLPA. It's the people right. that are in charge on a number of different levels that have maybe let things happen the way they like. Be mad at them that somehow what you thought was important, hockey finishing in at least one American city, can't happen, not because of hot in the NHL or the PA. It's because maybe we made a couple of missteps in reopening places.
Right. And also, by the way, I mean, you would think I would be the one to not understand this. This isn't going to play in Europe right now. Like, the time zones of Toronto and Edmonton are what we're very comfortable with here. Your games are going to be played at your normal times, your normal, you know, windows, whatever the NHL is planning to do. The hockey will look the way it would have looked in Vegas anyway. But I am a lot more confident today in the NHL making sure we crown a Stanley Cup champion than I am the NBA crowning an NBA final champion. And maybe that'll change in a month because the virus has changed, the world has changed, and you know, who knows what's good in Canada right now. May not be good in a month. You hope not, but everything's changing. But as it stands today, I feel pretty confident to an extent that the NHL is going to find a way to crown a champion, and they're doing the right thing and picking two Canadian cities.
Although I guess for us, and this really, you know, why not be selfish, because we matter more than anything else. This does mean that our Rangers are going to Edmonton, though. They can't right. go to Toronto because Toronto can't have the Leafs. So the entire Eastern Conference then needs to go to the Western city. So I hope we don't have a Ranger game starting at 10 Eastern time. If they're like the end game of a triple header, if I have to go to sleep before they play one of these games, no. I'm not going to be the happiest guy.
I don't think they will do that because I also don't think that the times in the arenas matter all that much as far as I think you could start a game for Western Conference fans back home in Toronto at 9:30 Eastern, at 10 Eastern. I mean, the NBA is doing that in Orlando where you're getting that Laker-Clipper game at 9:30 p.m. So I think they're still going to target the audiences in which they think will be watching the games more than where the games are played. Now, they may make for some messed up sleep one way or another, but ultimately I don't think that'll be a problem, Bogus. I really don't. And frankly, if they do, if we get a Ranger playoff game at 10 p.m. Eastern, I'm pulling an all-nighter right into the show, and I'll be real loopy because I'm not falling asleep. I'm not missing that. I've waited a long time. I guess I'll let you know what happens in the morning. When we come back, we do have advanced analytics. Will Badlands Booker be motivated to win the 4th of July contest, plus an epic fail? Badlands, is he a little too focused on the rap music right now and not winning a hot dog eating contest? We got a lot of Badlands, a lot going on in the final segment of the show. It's the DA Show with Bogus and Mraz on CBS Sports Radio.
There's not going to be no baloney repeats, okay?
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Well, Bogus, we had a very highly anticipated interview on the show today with Eric Badlands Booker, our DA Show favorite hot dog eater, competitive eater on the Major League Eating Circuit. That interview will be available on all the places you can find our podcast, iTunes, radio.com/search the DA Show. So we asked today, because I really wanted to ask Booker what the heck he's doing wrong. He didn't seem like he really had any plans to change, if you will, his preparation, but he did throw out some Joe Namath guarantees. We're going to get to that in the fail in a sec. But we did ask, will Mraz motivate Badlands Booker to win the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest? Bogus, 83.3% voted no. 16.7% voted yes. The crowd is turned on Booker. They just have. Yeah. The confidence is shot. The expectations are at an all-time low. I believe we're going to have somebody on from DraftKings tomorrow on the betting involved with this Nathan's Hot Dog. We might have to ask about Badlands Booker specifically. But no, everybody's off the wagon. I mean, nobody believes in this guy. And a little deep dive in analytics. Booker has had some fantastic accomplishments in his life. He has eaten 15 Qdoba burritos in 8 minutes, Bogus. He has eaten 2 pounds of chocolate candy bars in 6 minutes. In 6 minutes, this is back in 2004, by the way, he had 16 and a half cannolis in 6 minutes. That's a lot with that cheese. He's also eaten 4 pounds of corned beef hash in a minute 58 seconds. He's had 49 glazed donuts in 8 minutes. Think about how gross that is. Oh. He's had 21 baseball-sized half-pound matzo balls in 5 minutes and 25 seconds. That back in 2003. He's also eaten 9.5 1-pound bowls of peas in 12 minutes. I mean, look, Booker has had some moments. A lot of these moments are 2003, 2004. I'm starting to wonder if, like Vince Carter, he's just hanging on a little too long. He is 51 years of age. If he's now more of a compiler, he seems very motivated by his rap career, his hip-hop career. I'm worried about Booker on Saturday. I am. It's a guy we pull for, but it seems like his preparation is all over the map. And Bogus, as you alluded to earlier, you would vote no as well. You do not think he will be now more motivated after this interview to go find a way to win this thing.
Right, and I want to put it on two people, neither which are you. You did your job, and I've been on the end, I've been on the receiving end of your career advice, so I know how powerful and meaningful those words are. So you did your job here with Badlands. I don't know that he will then take those quality words and that coaching and that inspiration from you into Saturday. And even if he does, again, then he runs to the other person, and that's Joey Chestnut. I don't know that peak Badlands has the ability to beat peak Joey Chestnut. It's about Joey opening up the door to lose. Maybe that's how somebody else goes through it. But yeah, I don't think Badlands can figure this out in time. But for Saturday,
coverage begins 12 o'clock on Saturday, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Where will Badlands Booker finish? I'm sure we'll have to get into that at some point next week, although I'm off next week, so I guess I'll be absolved from having to discuss Badlands Booker's failures next week. All right, it is time for our epic fail of the day. We mentioned Badlands Booker on the show earlier. Man, Badlands had some answers in this interview where it just seemed like his focus was on the wrong part of his career, not the eating part of his career. It's just epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
How will we know that you're locked in, that you, things are going well for you Saturday? What is there a pace that we should keep an eye on? Your body language? How are we going to know that you're feeling good and things are going well for you during this on Saturday?
Focus. Speed. I am speed.
When you see me eating to the beat, when you see me, bobbing my head at about 100 beats per minute, you know what I'm saying? And I'm in a rhythm where it's just whatever's in the headphones going boom, boom, boom.
Gotta get that. Gotta get that.
And I'm translating to eat.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
And I start moving through the hot dogs. If I move through the hot dogs, if I get like I say about, my first 10 hot dogs within the first minute, oh man, I'm going straight to the moon, okay? that's when you'll know.
You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
I do have to ask, you just promoted that a little bit later today. You filmed a music video that's going to be coming out. That'll be your intro. You filmed it with George Shea. Can the listeners get a couple bars for the song that's going to be in the music video here? Can you got something for us?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just want to let you know that, I'm the baddest man from the Badlands. Last man standing in the last stand. The big man, Philly fans, Mike in my right hand. Out hands, out left hands, waiting to the fans. Oh, man. You just got to wait and you got to see it.
It sounds to me a lot like the Jaguars have to go to the AFC title game. Their priorities are all out of whack. And I think he's so focused on his music career that it's just, he's promoting the music video coming out. He's so focused on this video. I don't know if the focus is going to be there. I'm worried.
I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Bogues, I'm going to go out on a limb and go Badlands does not win a Grammy after this music video, or even at the least a VMA. I think that's the safest bet around Badlands Booker as we approach Saturday.
Yeah, that I can 100% get on board. It's better than I could do, but it is not, it's not much better than that. And I want to say don't quit your day job, but the day job hasn't been going that well recently either. So what... We got to help our buddy out here, something, right?
To the fans. Oh, man.
Oh, he's just piecing something together. Real quickly, because we never paid this off, Rick Pitino has suggested that college basketball, college hoops, is going to start in January as opposed to its normal November and go with just a conference schedule. And, Bogish, I have a feeling we're in agreement that this is the right thing to do. Push this thing to January. Look, with all due respect, nobody cares about college basketball in November and December. The conference season is where we begin to care anyway. And ultimately, this is about protecting the cash cow that is the NCAA tournament. Nobody wants to see that tournament lost for a second year in a row, especially the networks, especially the NCAA. So if the best way to make sure that we have that March Madness is to not fool around in November and December with games that frankly just aren't going to matter anyway unless you're really filling out that bubble and maybe only John Rothstein cares, Bogish. I think this would be a smart play for college hoops to go right to January.
Yeah, I care a little bit. I do probably when push comes to shove. I like college basketball more than college football. I'm a basketball guy over a football guy. So I like those early season non-conference showdowns. So I would miss those, but of course it makes plenty of sense. Hit the pause button. Let that whole fall semester go by. Give us more time to figure things out. Get to January when maybe the stage is even more yours than normal and play your conference games and we go from there. Because like you said, the point is having March Madness again. That we would all miss. So let's make sure we get it this year.
Yeah, and I also would wonder, now coaching Iona, if Rick Pitino is even aware of who's in his conference as he approaches conference play with Iona in January.
What I would say is he is in a position, though, where he does theoretically need those non-conference games. He could use a win or two against a big-name team to help his resume inside and outside the MAC. So, his level of coaches needs those early season games more than, say, Duke or North Carolina. So I think his sentiment maybe has a little more weight than some others. But no matter what, it seems the right thing to do, and I think we're gonna get some form of that, at least not starting in the middle of November like normal.
That will do it. This has been a fun DA show. Remember, you can catch the DA show again tomorrow morning with Bogish and myself. And honestly, who knows what's going to ensue as we head into the 4th of July holiday. A good show today. The Wizard of Watch, D'Angelo Kaplan, bowed out. But we had James Boccioni producing the show today. We had Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel, making sure we broke on time today. Bogish, thank you. It's been a treat. Bogish and I will be back tomorrow. Thanks to Eric Badlands Booker, the Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.